Our opening scripture came from Ezekiel chapter 3-1-8. There's a reason for everything, a time for every matter under the heavens, a time for giving birth and a time for dying, a time for planting and a time for uprooting what was planted, a time for killing and a time for healing, a time for tearing down and a time for building, and a time for crying and a time for laughing, a time for mourning and a time for dancing, a time for throwing stones and a time for gathering stones, and a time for embracing and a time for avoiding embrace, a time for searching and a time for losing, and a time for keeping and a time for throwing away, a time for sparing and a time for repairing, a time for keeping silent and a time for speaking, and a time for loving and a time for hating, a time for war and a time for peace.
Our second passage comes from the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. In fact, if you don't speak up at this very important time, relief and rescue will appear for the Jews from another place, but you and your family will die. But who knows? Maybe it was for a moment like this that you came to be a part of the royal family. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our salvation. Amen. This has been an amazing fall in our world and in our church. Our hearts have been broken for our family members, for our friends, for our neighbors and strangers who have been devastated by hurricanes, wildfires, earthquakes, gun violence, and all kinds of unrest and uncertainty. It has been a time of loss and tragedy. God has called us to be agents of change, to use the gifts and the faith and the vision and the place where we are to influence the people around the world in positive ways for God's kingdom. God didn't waste time when God put this call on us. When we received the call to be agents of change, God also put an amazing opportunity in front of us. We would be the place here in Concord where donations for our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico would be brought, and we would be the people to sort and to package and to find transportation to get these supplies to the island where they were so badly needed. It has been a time of hard work and a time of hope. In addition to that, we finished our Project Agape Christmas boxes, and we filled 71 boxes in this first year that we did Project Agape. This fall, we sent a team to the Mission Response Center in Terrell, North Carolina, and sent another small team to the Sager Brown UMCOR Depot in Baldwin, Louisiana. We hosted the crop walk last Sunday, and we raised more money than we had before and raised awareness and gave hospitality to all of our church neighbors who came and gathered for that event. In addition, we continued our regular mission projects. Narrow Gate continued, and our clothing closet has opened every week, and we've sent food to our school children in our area through Positive Provisions. It has been a time of mission and generosity. We've also enjoyed some wonderful worship, and especially two amazing worship services on the front lawn. A few weeks ago, on the first Sunday of October, we gathered together with our pets on the front lawn to bless the animals. And so lots of dogs and one bearded dragon got blessed a few Sundays ago on the front lawn. And then last Sunday, what a beautiful day to worship together out on the front lawn, singing in Spanish and English, all of us together, gathering at Christ's table and then sharing lunch around the tables in the fellowship center. It has been a time of worship and praise and coming together. The author of the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes illustrates the myriad different experiences we have through life at different times, all of it ordained by God as good. Those times of being born and dying, the times of planting and the times of harvesting, the times of killing and the times of healing, the times of breaking down, the times of building up, times of laughing and times of crying, times of mourning and times of dancing, times to speak up and sometimes to shut up, times to embrace and times to say goodbye. Just as we as a church continue to experience all different kinds of times, I'm sure you too personally have experienced most of these different kinds of times, probably just this fall, but if not, sometime in your life. You have experienced those times of rebirth, as well as those times of death, times when you have said goodbye to a loved one or someone else that you knew, or the death of hopes, dreams, relationships, expectations. You've had times of planting seeds of new growth, letting that growth flourish within your own life. And perhaps you've had times when you've had to weed out some things that weren't so good in your life. You've experienced, all of us have experienced those times of great hurt, the loss of a child or the betrayal of a friend, the end of a relationship, or that day when you wake up and the news is just too much. I know that we have experienced times of healing through reconciliation, through a new fresh hope, through a newfound love. Perhaps like that newfound love when you look into the eyes of a brand new grandbaby, or into the eyes of a new partner in life. We've all experienced those times of correction. You know, when somebody comes and puts you in your place and you know they're right, and you hate it, but you know they're right. We've also all experienced those times of encouragement when somebody builds us up, when somebody says, good job, or thank you, even for something that we did that was very small. We've all had those times when we've been in tears and those times when we laugh so hard our bellies hurt. We've had lots of times, you know, to speak, but there are some times when the silence speaks louder than words. There have been times that we've all had when we have grieved, and we all love those times to celebrate. All different kinds of times. God has created our lives to be full of all of these different experiences, all of these different kinds of times, and all of the wide range of emotions that go with them. Our life paths have plenty of opportunities to face all different varieties of time. Sometimes our life seems to float along, you know, things are easy as pie. Other times they are a great challenge. Sometimes the burden of responsibility seems heavy. God has given us each and every one of us, very distinctive strengths, abilities, gifts, personalities, talents that make each one of us, that make you uniquely qualified, uniquely suited for a specific time and a specific call. Sometimes the call on our life is ongoing, like the call we have to be a father or a mother or a wife or a husband, to be a partner, to be a farmer, to be a teacher, to be a banker or a business owner, to be a leader or a servant. Sometimes the call is ongoing. At other times, God's call is for a moment, for a very specific time. Sometimes that time, that call requires a lot of strength, a lot of courage in that moment. I want to share with you today the story of a person who needed strength and courage for a very specific time. I want to share with you the story of Esther. Esther from the Old Testament book, sharing her name. So follow me along as I tell you her story a little bit. Esther was the second queen of King Xerxes, ruler in Persia. After the first queen, Queen Vashti, was dethroned for making her husband look bad, they called lots of young women to come to the palace to be, you know, kind of vetted to see who would be the next queen. And so Esther was chosen from among these many eligible young women that were brought to the palace. Esther was chosen because she was physically very beautiful, but she also had some other qualities that stood out. She was intelligent and clever. She stood out as unique. She was a person that we can deduce from the whole biblical story that was of upstanding character, and she had a beautiful personality. She was beautiful inside and out. Her husband, the Persian king, did not know that she was a Jew. She had come into the palace with all of the other young women and had not shared, and maybe they hadn't asked, that she was from the Hebrew people. After she was made queen, there was growing disdain. There was growing dislike for the Jewish people in Persia. And one of the king's highest officials even went so far as to make a plan to exterminate all of the Jews. He persuaded the king to go through with this plan, and he made a decree of when that massacre would take place. The time drew close. The extermination was going to happen. Tensions were rising. The Jewish people were very scared. Esther's cousin Mordecai, who was actually the man who raised her after she was orphaned earlier in life, sent Esther a message in the palace that called her to use her position and her courage to save her people. Mordecai sent word to Esther asking her to go to the king and to plead for the lives of her people. Though she was queen, Esther was a woman and only the queen. Because of that, she had limited power. No one was able to approach or speak to the king, not even the queen, without first being invited. And she hadn't been invited to spend time with the king for a long time. How was she going to get an invitation from the king now? Mordecai, her cousin, wrote this message to her. Who knows? Maybe you were made queen for just such a time as this. Queen Esther finally consented to do what she could to change the plight of her people, and she prepared. She fasted and prayed, and she sent word for all the Jewish people to join her in fasting and praying for what she was about to do. She used the powers of her feminine persuasion to invoke an invitation by her husband, the king. By saying yes to the call, using the resources and the position that she had, she was able to persuade the king to rescind the indictment against the Jews, and the Hebrew people were spared. The Jewish people, our Jewish friends, still celebrate Purim, a holiday that commemorates Esther's courageous act and the saving of the Jewish people. Most of us will never be a king or a queen, and yet we have been given a specific place, a very specific position, specific relationships and skills, a specific place on the planet. Maybe we were given this position in this time and in this place for just such a time as this. Forest Hill is not the biggest or the fanciest or the coolest church around. Maybe you disagree, but. And yet we've been given this prime location in a growing city with lots of property, with lots of resources and talents and wonderful personalities, wonderful welcoming spirit. Perhaps we were given all of this for just such a time as this. What is God calling us to in this time? In our world that is so set on living out of a mode of scarcity, perhaps our church and we individuals are being called to live out of a mode of bounty, of abundance, providing out of all that we have to continue to share with a world in need. In a world where Earth's resources are being used up, perhaps we can do our small part to save God's beautiful creation. In this world that is so divided, so full of violence and hatred, and peace, even among family members, sometimes is hard these days. Perhaps we can be those who are peacemakers. You know, like the old song that says, "Let peace begin with me. Let it begin with me. Let it begin with us. Let peace begin with us as a body at Forest Hill." Perhaps we were given the gifts we have to create peace by weaving together this strong community and continue to weave it together, love and reconciliation, for just such a time as this. So maybe our world won't be so riddled with bullet holes and hatred. Though we are not kings and queens, we can learn much from Esther's example. She used what she had. She realized that she had the ability to do a great thing for herself, for her people, for God. She stepped up in courage, knowing that she might lose everything, but also knowing that she might save everything. Esther was not afraid of her possible success. Marianne Williamson, an author and activist, a promoter of peace, wrote these words in her book, A Return to Love. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. People of faith, let your light shine for just such a time as this. In this time of hatred, may you also create a time of peace. In this time of planting, may you also create a harvest of joy and grace and laughter and hope. In this time of hatred, may you also create a time and a space of love. Forest Hill, let your Christ light shine for just such a time as this. Amen.